superior hearing, have arrived in wonderful Vaikuntha, where there is no anxiety. Exactly why there is no anxiety in Vaikuntha, you will hear today. Of course we know that the spiritual world is eternal, sanatan. So immediately, there is something that's eternal, we are living there, then most of our anxiety is immediately gone. But yet, there is another reason why the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, is free from anxiety. Because we tend to think that we would like to go to the spiritual world because it's eternal, avoid all the troubles of the material world. It would probably, if we could take some pictures or something, it would come back and sell them maybe. It would be a good place to visit. But the qualifications of going to the spiritual world, very deep, and we will hear of one, that in one sense it's very simple, but in another sense it is very subtle. And that means that there has to be a concordance, a commonality, a harmony. Prabhupada uses the word harmony. A harmony between our consciousness and Krishna's consciousness. Fine, we think. All Krishna has to do is adjust his consciousness to my consciousness, and I'll tell him exactly what I want. But no, it doesn't work like that. That is the definition of hell. But we'll hear. It's very wonderful, actually. So, we heard yesterday the very sweet and beautiful description of Vaikuntha. And most wonderful of all were how the residents of Vaikuntha, although surrounded by the greatest opulence and beauty and sweetness and the chirping of wonderful birds and the sweet fragrance of so many flowers, they had no desire to enjoy that atmosphere. No. They didn't desire to enjoy it because they were so fixed as servants of Krishna, of Lord Narayan. So sweet was that relationship, the sweetness that they were experiencing from their service to Krishna, that nothing could touch that or shake it or disturb it. Not a pinch of a desire to enjoy was in their consciousness. Simply service, loving service, with their minds focused upon Krishna. So, the four Kumaras, although the oldest, were in the they looked as if they were young five-year-old boys. Why? To keep their innocence in the world. Because as soon as one's body matures, the desire to enjoy comes. So therefore, to keep themselves fully innocent and free from that desire, a tendency to exploit the material world, they forever kept themselves in boyish five-year-old bodies. So they began walking through the gates one after another leading to Vaikuntha, and they walked through six gates, and when they hit the seventh gate, they were stopped by the two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, who apparently were even somewhat agitated and angry. And the Kumaras, and Prabhupada had a very sweet purport about this, just like a child wants to wander here, there, go this, do that. And if you stop them, usually children, wherever they want to go, people will say, come, 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 because everyone likes to play with the children. But if they're stopped from going somewhere they want, they immediately throw a tantrum and they cry and they get angry. So like that, in a similar way, when the four Kumaras were prohibited from seeing their Lord, Lord Narayan, they became angry. And here's what they said. The sages said, huh? It would be on or off? It may be too hot though. Why don't we try? Oh, that'll finish me right off, blow me over. It will get hotter, then we can turn it on again. So the Kumaras, the sages, they said about the gatekeepers. They were furious, actually, because they wanted to see Krishna. And these gatekeepers had prohibited them from seeing Krishna. So they said, who are these two persons who have developed such a discordant mentality, even though they are posted in the service of the Lord in the highest position and are expected to have developed the same qualities as the Lord, because the servant must develop the same mood and qualities as his master in order to serve properly. But yet, the gatekeepers did not have that mood. This is what the Kumaras were thinking. They have gone against the mood and desires of their master. How are these two persons living in Vaikuntha? Where is the possibility of an enemies coming into this kingdom of God? Prabhupada will explain in the purport that a gatekeeper is supposed to decide who is suitable to come in, who is not qualified to go in to see the master. But in Vaikuntha, if one was not qualified, one couldn't be there. So how is it they're saying? How are these persons? They're stopping us as if we're enemies of the Lord? How is this possible? The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no enemies. It is not possible of an unqualified person to enter Vaikuntha, and the Lord has no enemies. Samoham sovabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriya. Who could be envious of him? You stop people who are going in to visit someone who is going to waste his time or give him trouble or cause him harm. But who can be envious of the Lord? Probably, the Kumara said, these two persons are imposters. Therefore, they suspect others to be like themselves. Because they have impurities in them, they are seeing impurities in others. This is actually a psychological principle. In Sanskrit, it is called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. According to our own mentality, we see the world. Just like Prabhupada told the story of one man who was deaf, and he was calling his wife, "My dear wife, come! My wife, come immediately!" And she was replying, "I'm coming, I'm coming!" And he couldn't hear her because he was deaf. So he was thinking that she wasn't answering because she couldn't hear him. So he was thinking that she was deaf because he was deaf. And in contemporary psychology, this is called projection. In Jungian psychology, it's a very interesting point. Just note it. Any time when you become angry at someone, you note what specifically it is about them that you don't like, and you'll see. If you look very closely, it's a fault that you have. You're projecting your own fault upon others. Atmavan manyate jagat. So that's what the gatekeepers were being accused of by the Kumaras. They must be imposters because they are not qualified to be in Vaikuntha. They are seeing duality, therefore they are seeing others as not qualified to be here, and therefore blocking their going to see the Lord. So Prabhupada explains in his purport. One is not allowed to enter Vaikuntha unless he has completely developed the good qualities. The basic principle of goodness is to accept subordination to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sages, therefore, were surprised to see that the two doormen who checked them from entering the palace were not exactly like the residents of Vaikuntha Loka. Because why? They were seeing friends and enemies. So later in the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj will condemn this very strongly. And also later on in this canto, even Kapiladeva will condemn this very strongly. So these people, they were thinking, they're not qualified to be in Vaikuntha, and therefore they're stopping us. It may be said that a doorman's duty is to determine who should be allowed to enter the palace and who should not. But that is not relevant in this matter, because no one is allowed to enter the Vaikuntha planets unless he has developed 100% his mentality of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. No enemy of the Lord can enter Vaikuntha Loka. The Kumaras concluded that the only reason for the doormen's checking them was that the doormen themselves were imposters. So they continued, they were very angry. In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and small skies, meaning the example Prabhupada will give is the body. There is air within the body or space within the body, and there's space outside, and there's no difference in quality. There's harmony between the quality of the two. So, in the spiritual world, they say, everyone is in full harmony with Krishna. Why then is there a seed of fear in the field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, but where from can their disharmony come into existence? Because again, they are seeing in a disharmonious way, and therefore they are seeing disharmony. Prabhupada explains in the purport. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful. And he becomes many, the one becomes many. There is a Vedic injunction. What is the Vedic injunction? Something, the word bahu is in there. I can't remember. The one has become many. So, the principle is that he, the Lord, becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities like ourselves, being part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is trapped by maya or illusion. So this is the situation, a very nice and simple explanation of the situation, that our existence, our individual personal existence, is a gift of Krishna. Sometimes I've heard devotees who are having trouble, angry at Krishna. I've heard this one devotee who's angry at Krishna for creating him with the ability to be in maya. Because he was thinking that it's so hard to get out of maya, and I'm so naturally attached to enjoying the material world, and because Krishna is the ultimate cause of all causes, so whose fault is it? Ultimately, it's his fault. So to have this type of individual existence, because of that he was angry at Krishna. But actually, our individual existence is, in one sense, the greatest gift of Krishna. Because based upon that gift, everything else rests. That we are individuals. We are persons. We have free will. But naturally, that free will, when manifest properly, is fully in harmony with Krishna. There's a nice verse in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that explains this. Dva imao purusha loke chara akshara eva cha. Dva means two. In this world, there are two kinds of living entities. Dva imao purusha, persons in this loke world. Chara akshara, the fallible and the infallible, the perfect and the imperfect. Chara, imperfect. Sava bhutani, all the living entities in the material world are imperfect. What is that imperfection? That with our free will, with our existence, as individuals, we turn from Krishna. Krishna bhule se jeev anadi bahimuk. We turn our back on Krishna. With our free will. And that is our imperfection. And therefore what happens is we are placed, as Prabhupada said, in a, because that is disharmony, it's unnatural. We are placed under the control of the illusory energy. Atta eva maya tari samsarira duk. We are placed. Atta eva means... What is that? Yes. Thank you. Atta eva. Therefore, maya tari. Maya. We are placed by maya. We are placed by... into the illusory energy and given samsarira duk. The miseries of repeated birth and death. And in each situation we are thinking ourselves the controller, the enjoyer, independent. I'm trying to assert myself. Misuse of our independence. Disharmony with reality, actually. Because we cannot assert ourselves. We are controlled at every moment. So we are in illusion, we are thinking ourselves in that way. And soon as we actually get free from the coverings of maya and understand who we really are and who are we, jivera sarupa, the actual identity of the living entity is Krishna Nityadas, the servant of Krishna. That is who we are. We can't actually define ourselves except in relationship with Krishna. So chara savabhutani, all the disharmonious living entities are fallible and are in the material world. And akchara kutosto chara uchete. And those who are perfect, they are one with Krishna in desire. Kutosto means one. One with Krishna in desire. We want to please Krishna. That is our that is the harmonious situation. That is our perfection. That is actually our identity. And therefore we are blind in the material world and we are struggling so much because we don't want to live in this. We don't want to chant Krishna's glories from the core of our heart. This is the cause of all the problems. And immediately, as soon as the misuse of free will comes, false ego, ahankar. And then we see everything through that false identity, any other identity. So we've already heard so much about the material world and its creation, and the first thing that's created is this false ego, the false lens through which we see everything. And as soon as that is taken away, when we see ourselves, we see Krishna Nityadas. I am Krishna's, and also Krishna's mine. So, when there is discrepancy in that harmony for the living entity, when he turns his back on Krishna, immediately the living entity is entrapped by maya or illusion. Why illusion? Because we cannot be separate from Krishna. Only we can think we are. That is why illusion. Maya means is not. So the external energy, we're placed under the control of the external energy of the Lord is called the material world. And the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. So no fear, because everything is lined up under Krishna's desire. So what cause of fear if Krishna is in full control? There's no enmity because everyone is centered on Krishna. Everything there is absolute because everything is in its relationship with Krishna. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach. And just as in a machine there are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engaged in the service of the Lord. There is no cause. I was skipping a little. So harmony, in other words, comes through obedience. But not just you have to do it as you're told, but it's bhakti, it is love and devotion. Out of love, the residents of Vaikuntha all serve Krishna and with great affection. It is the greatest pleasure that they have. Spontaneous. There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule on the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear. Because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents, Maya means disharmony between the living entities and the Supreme Lord. And Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because He is the supreme living entity. But foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, defy His existence. And that state in which we are defying the existence of the Lord is called Maya. It's every state in the material world. There's so many varieties of states, and each one of them has one common element against Krishna supremacy. So there are varieties. That state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. That's one type of Maya. They say everything is void. And sometimes they deny Him in a different way. There may be a God, but He has no form. Both these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. Harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. What does that mean, a soul surrendered unto Krishna? It means surrendered unto Krishna's service and the desire to please Him. And that is Krishna's internal energy. So when a devotee subordinates himself to the internal energy, which is represented as Sri Guru, spiritual master, Vaishnavas, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Srimati Radharani, these are manifestations of the internal energy, Ladini Sandit Shakti. This is the internal energy of Krishna. So what we do, the living entity, we are tiny, we are Tatastha Shakti, and we need a shelter. So when we take shelter of the material energy, then we are in the material world. When we take shelter of the internal energy, the antaranga shakti, then we are in the spiritual world because we are taking shelter of the service of Krishna. Although when we take shelter of the internal energy, we retain our individuality. So religion means give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. In other words, desire nothing else in the heart other than to serve Krishna. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all other religious principles. In the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony. And therefore that world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principle of obedience to Krishna, devotional obedience to Krishna, devotional service to Krishna, if it can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. Here meaning in the material world. So it is with any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Very deep point. So the Jayan, the Jai, are feeling the anger of the Lord, of the Lords, of the two four Kumaras. So they continue saying, therefore, because these people the four Kumaras are saying, are disharmonious. They are not in concordance with Krishna, with Lord Narayan's will. They are stopping us as if we were enemies, as if we shouldn't be allowed to see them, the Lord. Therefore, they said, let us consider how these two contaminated persons should be punished. The punishment should be apt. For thus, benefit can eventually be bestowed upon them. Since they find duality, friends and enemies, good and bad, qualified, unqualified, contaminated, pure, since they're finding duality in the existence of Vaikuntha life, where there is no duality, they are contaminated. They are seeing duality where there is no duality. Therefore, they are contaminated and should be removed from this place to the material world, where the living entities have three kinds of enemies. So this is the last, I think the last long purport we'll read. Not that long, but it's very nice. These are the kind of ones that we shouldn't really be rushing through. There's so many wonderful and important points here. So they're saying, you don't belong here. You belong in the material world. What puts one in the material world or the spiritual world? They're implying the consciousness. Purport. There are three kinds of enemies in the material world. Take a guess what those enemies are. This guy and that guy and that guy. Okay, everyone can guess. Okay, we'll find out though. The reason why pure souls come into existential circumstances of the material world, which are considered to be the criminal department of the Supreme Lord, is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 27. It is stated there that as long as a living entity is pure, he is in complete harmony with the desires of the Supreme Lord. But as soon as he becomes impure, sees duality, sarva bhutani sammohan, by being in duality, specifically in duality, all living entities, they're in illusion, and therefore sargayanti parantapa, they take their birth in illusion in the material world because of the duality of desire and hate, selfishly thinking, I want that, I don't want that, ichcha, I don't like, ichcha, it's desire, dvesha, I don't like, all based on me, false ego. That is what puts one in the material world in illusion. Not in harmony with Krishna, but trying to put the whole world in harmony with my desires. By contamination, this contamination, he is forced to transfer to this material world where the living entities have three enemies, namely desire, anger, and lust. These three enemies force the living entities to continue material existence. And when one is free from them, he is eligible to enter the kingdom of God. One should not therefore be angry in the absence of an opportunity for sense gratification. And one should not be lusty to acquire more than necessary. In this verse it is clearly stated that the two doormen should be sent into the material world where criminals are allowed to reside. Since the basic principles of criminality are sense gratification, anger, and unnecessary lust, persons conducted by these three enemies of the living entity are never promoted to Vaikuntha. People should learn Bhagavad Gita and accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna as the Lord of everything. They should practice satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord instead of trying to satisfy their own senses. Training in Krishna consciousness will help one be promoted to Vaikuntha. So very important instructions from Prabhupada as what we should cultivate and what we shouldn't cultivate. When one is full of desire, kam, krodh, and lobe, we have kam, we have desire. We want something. And if we get it, we become greedy, lobh. And if we don't get it, we become crowed, angry. And these things cover us very deeply in ignorance. So these are the bondages. And the way to get free from desire, material desires, is to desire things for Krishna. Gautama Das Thakur has explained this in Prem Bhakti Chandrika, that when desire is used in Krishna's service, then it becomes wonderful. When anger is used in Krishna's service, then it becomes wonderful. So, what do you think the doormen felt when they were cursed to go to the material world? They were terrified! When the doormen of Vaikuntha, who were certainly devotees of the Lord, found that they were going to be cursed by the brahmanas, they at once became very much afraid, and they fell down at the feet of the brahmanas in great anxiety. For a brahmana's curse cannot be counteracted by any kind of weapon. So they were, Prabhupada actually says that they were terrified when they understood their mistake and understood they were going to be cursed. So after being cursed by the sages, the doormen said, I found this very, very interesting what they said, what they were actually afraid of. At this point, they were very respectful though. It is quite apt that you have punished us for neglecting to respect sages like you. So they're saying, what you have done by cursing us is proper. They didn't try to retaliate, or they didn't become angry at this point. They said it's proper. We have acted improperly. But we pray that due to your compassion at our repentance, that we understand we have done something wrong, so please be compassionate to us. What are we asking? That due to your compassion at our repentance, the illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go progressively downward. So what are they asking? The illusion of forgetting the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not come upon us as we go downward progressively. So what are they asking?
They're asking not to be taken out of their original consciousness.
Yeah, that's adding a little, but yes, you're right.
At the same time, they might...
They don't mind being in the material world, but their prayer is they don't forget Krishna. This is actually most wonderful, because if someone is always remembering Krishna, actually speaking, of course, anukulena Krishna anushyanam, that remembering has to be anukul, in a favorable mood. And we'll see, these two became demons. So their remembering was far from favorable, but yet they were always remembering. But if one is remembering favorably, then one is actually in the spiritual world. And that is the prayer of a devotee. Let me take my birth anywhere. Let it be in heaven, let it be in hell, give me liberation, swaga pavagana rakeshu apitu yata darshana, because Narayana paraksame. If I can just be dear to Lord Narayana and remember him, so how potent, therefore, is remembering him, the Lord. And that is the essence. That is what Krishna consciousness means. Remembrance with great devotion and service. Naturally, service. And all the rules and all the regulations that we follow are meant to give us, award this one thing. Sarva vidhi nishela cha etya eva kinkara. They're all servants. All the rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness are servants to this one rule and regulation. That to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Vishmatavyo no jati chit. Never forget Krishna, always remember him. Somehow or another, this is what we're trying to do. Somehow or another, arrange our day to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Therefore, things like chanting Hare Krishna, like distributing books, deity worship, making life members, or whatever, these are the easiest things to do to remember Krishna. Preaching, talking about Krishna. Because the wonderful thing about preaching is what? Is you have to listen carefully. Like when you're sitting there and listening to the class, your mind can wander here and there, but when you're speaking, you have to be a lot more careful than that. Can't forget what you were up to. You have to listen. So you're hearing yourself preach, talking about Krishna. Therefore, that's actually, in one sense, the best thing that we can do is talk about Krishna to others. Because that not only helps us remember Krishna, but it helps others remember Krishna. But always remembering Krishna. So therefore, Prabhupada says in the first line of the purport, his purport, to a devotee, any heavy punishment is tolerable, but, except for one, the one which affects forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. That's what they're afraid of. That's the only thing a devotee is afraid of. So we can just, if maybe from a distance, but we can just glimpse of how wonderful to have one's consciousness fixed on the Lord is. That it is actually our wealth. There is no other wealth in this world. Everything else can be taken from us. If we have that, we will have it. If we hold on to that at the time of death, we will go to him. Saritar Bhagavat. At that very moment, so where are we up to in the story? The four Kumaras have gone to Vaikuntha, they're joyfully wishing to see the Lord. They're going through one gate after another. They go through the first gate, the second gate, the third gate, the fourth gate, the fifth gate, the sixth gate. They're stopped at the seventh gate. They become angry. They're stopped by Jai and Vijay, the two gatekeepers. They say, how are you stopping us? We are here in Vaikuntha. No one can be here who's not qualified. You think Krishna sees enemies and friends? You must be improper. You have improper consciousness. You don't belong here. We curse you to go to the material world. And they say, okay, we have done wrong. We understand that. But please don't let us forget Krishna. Now what happens next? At that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha. What does Padmanabha mean? Padmanabha. What is Nabha? Oops, that isn't it. Oops. Everything sounds wrong when it's pronounced with a Brooklyn accent. Sorry. The lotus navel. Yes? Yes, okay. Padma is the lotus. Lotus navel. Because of that very moment, the Lord, who is called Padmanabha, because of the lotus grown from the navel, and who is the delight of the righteous, learned about the insult offered by his own servants to the saints. So Lord Narayan heard about this. Accompanied by his spouse, Lakshmiji, the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot on those very feet sought for by recluses and great sages. So this is very wonderful. As soon as the Lord heard what had happened, that the sages had cursed his two gatekeepers, he immediately, on his own lotus feet, he came there with Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune. Because the Lord was thinking, the four Kumaras were so angry, if I don't get there quickly, they might finish them off. And he had to protect his devotees. And he was thinking that they're so angry. Why are they angry? Because they could not see my lotus feet. So if I bring my lotus feet to them, Now, then that will cool down their anger. So the Lord came, Prabhupada explains, that the quarrel was between the doorman and the sages was taking a different turn, and therefore he instantly came out of his place and went to the spot to stop further aggravation so that his devotees, the doorman, might not be vanquished for good. So, amazingly enough, the Lord came with Lakshmi Devi. And the Kumaras, who seemingly were stopped from seeing him, suddenly they saw the Lord. So in the next five verses, what they saw, the beautiful Lord, is described. Now, the four Kumaras were impersonalists. What does it mean to be an impersonalist? Everything is one. Non-differentiated, non-qualitative oneness. No qualities. Perfect equanimity. Equalness. And that is going to get disturbed. The sages, headed by Shanaka Rishi, this is what they saw. This is how beautiful the Lord was. They saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their heart when they were in ecstatic trance. They could see him. They were so exalted and elevated. They could see him within their hearts. But now, he had actually become visible to their eyes. This is called Shakshad Darshan, direct vision of the Lord. And this is higher than seeing in the heart. As the Lord came forward, accompanied by his own associates, bearing all paraphernalia, such as the umbrella and a chamara fan. Chamara, the white bunch of hairs, move very gently, like two swans. And due to their favorable breeze, the pearls garlanding the umbrella also moved, like drops of nectar falling from the white full moon, or ice melting due to a gust of wind. Prabhupada's purport. In this verse, we find the word akshakshataksha vishayam. The Supreme Lord cannot be seen by ordinary eyes. But he now became visible to the eyesight of the Kumaras, because their eyes were pure, because they were pure. Another significant word is samadhi bhagyam. Meditators who are very fortunate can see the Vishnu form of the Lord within their hearts by following the yogic process. But to see him face to face is a different matter. This is possible only for pure devotees. The Kumaras, therefore, upon seeing the Lord coming forward with his associates, who are holding an umbrella and a chamara whisk fan, were struck with wonder that they were seeing the Lord face to face. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that devotees, being elevated in love of God, always see Shyama Sunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, within their hearts. But when they are mature, the same God is visible before them face to face. For ordinary persons, the Lord is not visible. However, when one can understand the significance of his holy name, and one engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, beginning with the tongue, by chanting and tasting prasadam, then gradually the Lord reveals himself. Thus the devotee constantly sees the Lord within his heart. And in a more mature stage, one can see the same Lord directly as we see everything else. So they saw him very, very beautifully coming, being fanned by chamaras, and an umbrella held over his head. Everything was very beautiful. The Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure. His auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction. And his affectionate smiling and glancing touch the core of the heart. He immediately wins everyone's heart. The Lord's beautiful bodily color is blackish, and his broad chest is the resting place of the goddess of fortune, who glorifies the entire spiritual world, the summit of all heavenly planets. Thus it appeared that the Lord was personally spreading the beauty and good fortune of the spiritual world. He was adorned with a girdle that shone brightly on the yellow cloth covering his large hips. And he wore a garland of fresh flowers, which was distinguished by humming bees. His lovely wrists were graced with bracelets, and he rested one of his hands on the shoulder of Garuda, his carrier, and twirled the lotus with another hand. So, Garuda was there. Who was Garuda? Indonesian Airlines, yeah, I know. No, he's the carrier of the Lord, right? But yet, how did the Lord come? How did it describe in the previous verse that he came? Yeah, he came on his lotus feet, and yet he had Garuda there. So it is described that he did not want to wait for Garuda. He was in so much anxiety about his devotees, the two gatekeepers, that he quickly came. He ran on his lotus feet despite the fact. How beautiful he was. And he twirled the lotus with his other hand. His countenance was distinguished by cheeks that enhanced the beauty of his makar-shaped pendants, his earrings, shaped like an alligator, crocodile, dolphins, a makar, which outshone lightning. His nose was prominent, and his head was covered with a gem-studded crown, a charming necklace hung between his stout arms, and his neck was adorned with a gem known by the name of Kastuva. The exquisite beauty of Narayan, being many times magnified by the intelligence of his devotees, was so attractive that it defeated the pride of the goddess of fortune in being the most beautiful. My dear demigods, Brahma is saying, the Lord who thus manifested himself is worshipable by me, Lord Shiva, and by all of you. The sages regarded him with unsated eyes. When they were looking at him, they could not get enough. The more they looked, the more their desire to see him grew. And they joyously bowed down their heads at his lotus feet. So we'll read a few of the purports. So he was, his auspicious presence is meant for everyone's benediction, and his affectionate smiling and glancing touched the core of the heart. Prabhupada's purport. When the Lord came, he was pleased with everyone. Therefore, it is stated here, Kritsna prasada smukam. The Lord knew that even the offensive doormen were his pure devotees, although by chance they committed an offense at the feet of other devotees. To commit an offense against a devotee is very dangerous in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya therefore said that an offense to a devotee is just like a mad elephant run loose. When a mad elephant enters a garden, it tramples all the plants. Similarly, an offense unto the feet of a pure devotee murders one's position in devotional service. On the part of the Lord, there was no offended mood, because he does not accept any offense created by his sincere devotee. But a devotee should be very cautious of committing offenses at the feet of another devotee. The Lord, being equal to all and being especially inclined to his devotee, looked as mercifully at the offenders as at the offended. The attitude of the Lord was due to his unlimited quantity of transcendental qualities. His cheerful attitude towards the devotees was so pleasing and heart-touching that his very smile was attractive for them. That attraction was glorious, not only for all the higher planets of the material world, but beyond, for the spiritual world also. Generally, a human being has no idea what the constitutional position is in the higher material planets, which are far better constituted in regard to all paraphernalia. Yet the Vaikuntha planet is so pleasing and so celestial that it is compared to the middle jewel or locket in a necklace of jewels. The beauty of the Lord was so enchanting that it could not be sufficiently described. The goddess of fortune is supposed to be the most beautiful sight within the spiritual and material creations of the Lord. She has a sense of being the most beautiful. Yet, her beauty was defeated when the Lord appeared. In other words, the beauty of the goddess of fortune is secondary in the presence of the Lord. In the words of Vaishnava poets, it is said that the Lord's beauty is so enchanting that it defeats hundreds and thousands of cupids. He is therefore called Madana Mohan. It is also described that the Lord sometimes becomes mad after the beauty of Radharani. Poets describe that under those circumstances, when the Lord is captivated by Srimati Radharani, he is called Madan Mohan Mohini. But actually the Lord's beauty is, he becomes Madana Daha, or enchanted by the beauty of Radharani. Actually, the Lord's beauty is super excellent, surpassing even the beauty of Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. The devotees of the Lord in the Vaikuntha planets want to see the Lord as the most beautiful. But the devotees in Gokul, or Krishna Loka, want to see Radharani as more beautiful than Krishna. The adjustment is that the Lord, being Bhakta Vatsal, or one who wants to please his devotees, assumes such features so that the devotees like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods may be pleased. Here also, for the devotee sages, the Kumaras, the Lord appeared in his most beautiful feature, and they continued to see him without satiation and wanted to continue seeing him more and more and more and more and more.
Another few minutes. I'll read some of the comments of Jiva Goswami on these verses from Bhagavat Sandhava. Tomorrow, read some more of the things that Jiva Goswami says.
So the Lord, when he heard about, learned about the insult offered by his own servants, who had checked the movements of the four Kumaras headed by Sanaka Kumar, accompanied by the goddess of fortune, he went to the spot, quickly walking there with his own feet. The Supreme Lord thought, I will show my anger to these two gatekeepers because they have offended the sages who came to see my lotus feet. Lakshmi Devi and I will both pacify the desireless sages by granting them many opulences. In order to grant spiritual bliss to the four Kumaras, whose pleasure was self-realization, the Lord granted them the sight of his own lotus feet. The Lord, whose super-excellent transcendental form is the abode of all eternity, knowledge, and bliss, along with his pastime potency, the goddess of fortune, personally went to those sages. So he wanted to actually elevate them because they were Brahma bodies. They were fixed in the conception of the oneness of the Lord, and he wanted to elevate them and to become devotees. That is why he went. He wanted to give them the greatest opulence, his devotional service. The next five verses describe the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he was seen by the four Kumaras. They say, the sages headed by Shanaka saw that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who was formerly visible only within their hearts in ecstatic trance, had now become visible to their eyes. As a result of their previous meditation on the Lord in ecstatic trance, they now obtained the opportunity to directly see the Lord with their own eyes. The Lord's own transcendental potency, which reveals the Lord's form to the intelligence and senses of his devotees, revealed the Lord's form to the four Kumaras. Very important point, that by our own power we can never see the Lord. He has to, by his own, when the Lord's potency is pleased, when the Lord's devotees are pleased, then by their grace and their prayers and their blessings, then the Lord becomes visible to our eyes.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? I don't know, why is it so hot? One reason is because the AC is off.
Significance of the six guys that come out of Pasper?
Not that I know of. I mean, why seven as opposed to 10 or 12 or 11?
What did that perhaps represent?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it said somewhere, but I don't know what it is. Yeah. Any other?
If it was that they were the Kamatha Brahma bodies,
yeah,
then it's slightly a little difficult to reconcile with the fact that I wanted to say low state of the Lord.
Brahma bodies are different from Maya bodies. Maya bodies say that the Lord's form is made of the material energy. They say that the Lord takes on a material form of Maya, and then he is called Ishvara. While the living entities, when they come in contact with the material energy, they become jiva, when they become controlled by illusion. But Brahma bodies are somewhat different. We call them Maya bodies because they say that the Lord's form, activities, pastimes are all products of Maya. So they, Mogasya Moga Kamano, Moga Jnana Vachetasa, Asurim Vakshashim Chaiva, Asurim Mohanim Shita. That they are actually demonic because of this consideration of the Lord's form as material, and their result is everything is ruined for them because it's Asurim. Rakshashim Chaiva, Prakriti Mohanim Shita, they've taken shelter of the illusory energy. But Brahmavadis are somewhat different. They accept that the Lord's form is eternal, but they think that the formlessness is superior. They feel it's a higher realization. Because they're looking at it from the material point of view, because all matter has form, and therefore things that have no form are spiritual. It's simple. But they're Brahmavadis, so they're not offenders. So there's hope for Brahmavadis. So actually, if one studies the Bhagavad Gita, one sees that there's a path like that. The path of Jnana brings one to the position of understanding one's qualitative oneness with the Lord. And then the next stage, if one takes the next step on the yoga ladder, one can understand how the Lord is everywhere, and that's through the Paramatma. And then if one takes the next stage, one can understand that the Lord is not only Paramatma, but Krishna is still Bhagavan Swayam, or Lord Narayan. That one can understand that there is a supreme person. So, what moves one from one stage to the next? It's always association. So the Brahma stage, or the Jnani stage, as described in many places in the Bhagavad Gita, is just not the highest. So to progress beyond that, they were curious, maybe. But when they saw the Lord, everything got shaken, and they gave up their realization of Brahmavadi, their all peacefulness. They were actually agitated by the sweetness of the Lord. And that will be explained in the next verses. So why does one give up one thing for another? Only when one finds something superior. And that comes by association. Good question. Any other questions? Okay, we'll stop. Thank you very much. And next Wednesday we'll continue hearing about Vaikuntha. This section of the Bhagavatam is one of my favorites. Very, very sweet. And the subtlety of the dealings. We'll hear now how the Lord starts dealing with the Kumaras. And then, as we've heard so far, the gatekeepers are great offenders. They've stopped the great devotees, the great sages.
from entering Vaikuntha. But then by the time the sages leave, they'll realize that they made the mistake because they cursed those who were very dear to the Lord. And then by the time after that, they realize it's all Krishna's pastime anyway. So it goes through many twists and turns. So at this point, the sages have been treated wrongly by the gatekeepers, and therefore the Lord, to right the wrong of his servants, has come there to protect them and to show respect to the Kumaras. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Four Kumaras ki jai, Jayan Vijay ki jai, Lord Narayan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.